y'all ready for this?
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM here at the Staples Center watching the Los Angeles Kings take on the St. Louis Blues. And you just heard the buzz of that. It's the end of the second period. Los Angeles Kings scored four goals in the second period to take a 4-0 advantage going into the third, which is usually a comfortable lead for most teams.
They scored all four goals as Luke Robitaille sat here with us.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
And now the world's greatest announcer. I used to walk around the Great Western Forum, which before that used to be the Fabulous Forum. And I'd walk around and stop and stare up at Bob Miller, and I couldn't hear him, but I knew his lips were moving a million miles a second. And he's here. Bob Miller, nice to see you.
Great to see you guys. Yeah. Nice to be here again, and what a period. I'm glad Luke got four goals. Now the pressure's off of me.
Right. Now, this is a rare occasion. We should explain to the audience who thought exactly what I thought when Bob came through the door. I thought, how are you able to do this? There's a game going on. What are you doing up here?
Well, we're not doing TV tonight, so I got a chance to sit with my wife in the stands and visit with you guys. And so I don't like not working.
Right.
I think all of us, when you come to the game, I want to do the game.
Right.
But there are a certain number of games that we don't do. Tonight is one of those. And so it gives me a chance to do some other things, right. And I'm enjoying this.
Now, when you sit with your wife in the stands, obviously you must have nice seats.
Yeah, actually, I don't like her seats. I'd rather go up to the broadcast booth and watch it from up there, and sometimes I do.
And my bet is you didn't pay for your seats tonight.
You're right.
Okay. All right. Thank God they took care of
you. You could bet that I haven't paid for seats in 35 years.
One of the perks, right?
Now, when you sit with your wife, Judy, right?
Yes.
You sit with Judy, and you're watching the game, and she's eating popcorn or whatever she's doing. Are you in your mind doing play-by-play?
No, I don't do the play-by-play, but I do write down the line combinations, who's out, what the defensive pairs are. In fact, I've got them. In the first period, we had about six or seven different line combinations. And I do that because we got a game here on Saturday afternoon against the Chicago Blackhawks. And so I just want to, in preparation tomorrow, look over what were the line combinations they used and see if they're going to be the same on Saturday.
And that's while you're sitting here with your wife watching the game.
Right.
I don't know how to say this other than to just say to you, there's no way in the world you ever think about retiring, right?
No, I'll tell you, I must say I have thought about, I don't know when it's going to be, but...
I hope it never happens.
It's going to be someday. I'm not going to go as long as Chick did, and God bless him, he was, he went till he was, 82 years old, and Vin Scully is still going strong and sounding so good, and yet... I don't know. I don't. Right now, I would say I'm not going to go till I'm that old.
Good. Well, I hope that you change your mind. I hope you stay till you're 101 and in a wheelchair.
Yeah, if you're sitting down there making notes on your night off, I mean, you're real dedicated.
But you know what happens in a game this fast? And I think like a player, you know how when Wayne Gretzky could no longer play to the ability that he wanted himself to play at. In other words, he was still better than most people in the league.
Right.
But not up to his standards.
Right.
And I think once in a while, pretty soon, you say, I've lost a step. I'm not as quick as I used to be. And I think that happens to announcers, too, in a real fast sport. A little, maybe just a hesitation in identifying someone. And, I notice it not too much, but once in a while. And I say, doggone it, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, I'd have been right on that.
I never notice it.
It either. I noticed it a little with Chick Hearn. When he would, in the last year or so of his broadcasting, he'd say, James Worthy takes it down the court. And oh, wait a minute. James Worthy's been gone for quite some time.
Hold on a second. Wait, hold on. TiVo that for a second. But, the truth is, Bob, obviously, so many times you are harder on yourself. You'd be a harsher critic on your own performance.
Yeah.
People listening, viewing, they would never notice that momentary hesitation. It's only you that would notice it.
Yeah, you're right. And I think you guys, if you listen to a tape, you say, I wanted to do this and I didn't do it. So there's nothing wrong with being a perfectionist, right?
Right.
You want to improve all the time. We'll drive home and Judy say, how'd it go? I wasn't as good on the second goal. I wanted to be better on that. And if she listened to it, you're right. She'd say, there's nothing wrong with that. It sounded fine to me. But... hold yourself to a higher standard. Then you're always going to strive. You're not always going to make it, but you strive to be there, and I think that's important.
Right. Well, let me. I think I can talk you out of retirement. And again, your wife is lovely, but when you do retire, it's Judy.
Yeah, I know.
You know that.
I know.
All right.
There are some times now that you look at that schedule and say, hey, a road trip's coming up.
A 9-game road trip.
Yeah, maybe not as long as that 16-day one that we had. But I think that's probably helped a lot in the marriage over 35 years.
Yeah, well, because this is your child.
Yeah, right.
And when, you know, the empty nest syndrome kicks in when your child moves out.
When you take the pen, she doesn't like it with the calendar that hangs in their kitchen. When Bob takes the pen to the road trips and writes heaven across that week, Judy doesn't like that.
You know, we do have a sign in our kitchen said this marriage is interrupted by the hockey season.
All right, Bob Miller's with us. If you'd like to say hi to him, or you know, if you want to ask him a question about his career, he's been with the Los Angeles Kings for how many years?
35
years. When did they get here? 1968?
67 was the first year. 67, 68. So this
and
is
that
the,
was in the sports arena, right?
Actually started down in Long Beach, their first game, and then played at the sports arena. And then the arena commission was going to raise the rent on Jack Kent Cooke, and he said, well, I'll show you. I'll build my own building. And they all laughed at him, and right. 16 months later, he had his own building.
And 40 years later, that building still exists.
Yeah,
which is
right.
Pretty rare.
Right.
All right, here are the phone numbers, 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Now, who is the youngest player this year for the Kings? It's like a 12-year-old, right?
Yeah, right. I'd like to say that. Let's see, Jack Johnson just turned 21. Anze Kopitar is still 20 years old.
Wow.
Second year, 20 years old.
It's like Luke Robitaille. Luke is 20 in his first year, I guess, or 21.
Yeah, what a great personality, too. For a 20-year-old, you know, he's from Slovenia. And we kid him, he's the greatest hockey player in the NHL from Slovenia because he's the only one out of Slovenia. But he's still the greatest from Slovenia.
Yeah. And he's the only player in the NHL from Slovenia?
Yes. And great personality. His English is perfect. When we played in Salzburg at the start of the year, a couple of exhibition games before we went to London, I sat behind his grandfather and grandmother who live in Slovenia. And his grandfather can't talk very well English, but very good English, but looked at me and made a TV and like, see you in Slovenia on the TV. And,
wow.
And his grandmother taught him English. And I said, I understand you taught Anze English. She said, yes, I did. And I said, well, you did a wonderful job. He really is fluent. She said when he was a little boy, he would pretend he was the number one star of the game, and he wanted his grandmother to interview him, but he said, interview me in English, so if some year I ever get in that position, I can speak the language. It's a great story.
That's a sweet story.
I also heard his father was the Slovenia charades champion.
Maybe.
Well, you know,
maybe.
It's interesting, Bob, because we're talking about, you know, 20-year-old players and guys who started like Luke Robitaille, 20 years old, 21-year-old guys on the ice who have come maybe from other countries. There's, I think sometimes with guys who play this game, because they travel so much, because they've come from other parts of the world, because with the team they travel so much, they almost become more worldly. I don't want to say sophisticated, but they're international people, really.
Yeah, they are, and yet some of the players from Slovakia, Czech Republic, are still reluctant to do interviews and do commercials or whatever, and it's a detriment, I think, to the league. They're great stars, but they don't have that command of the English language.
So they lack the confidence, you think?
I think they do. I know Marcel Dion, when he played here, every young French-Canadian player who came here, Luke Robitaille included, Steve Duchesne included, Marcel said, learn to speak English because it is going to further your career down the road, not only in hockey, but in all aspects. If you live in this country, you've got to learn English. And of course, right. Luke speaks it fluently also.
Yeah, you can. Luke is great. He was on with us a little while ago, and we asked him about his record-breaking night here with Los Angeles Kings. He scored 3 goals that night. The last one was an empty netter. And his wife wasn't here. She was home painting. And he said when he got home, it was almost his fault.
It was almost.
She wasn't here.
Yeah, you know, the walls could have waited until the next day, couldn't they? Oh, she was painting a picture. That's right.
Right, she was painting, and, you know. But
yourself.
It was almost his fault. Do you find that is it more relaxing to watch the game when you're not working? It must seem slower when you're not calling the game.
I'll tell you, I'm not as involved in it. You know, somebody will say, how do you think so-and-so played? And you're not, your concentration is obviously not the way it is when you're calling a play-by-play. So I'd much rather be working than sitting there watching the game.
All right, Bob Miller's with us. He's the Los Angeles Kings announcer and has been for the last 35 years and plans to spend the next 35 years in the booth. Who is the guy? I was trying to think of this guy's name, and I'm sure you know who he is. Was it McNamara? McCanahan? Who's the big, tall guy who used to fight for the Los Angeles Kings? He only spent a couple years
there. McKenna?
Sean McKenna.
Sean McKenna. Yeah.
But that was a big effing guy. Wow. That was a guy. I remember one night against the Calgary Flames, he took on all comers.
Yeah.
He took on, he beat the hell out of the first guy, knocked the second guy out, and then took on a third guy.
Yeah, he was, and you know, he was a great, great guy. And I think he's maybe playing over in Europe now. I'm not sure. He used to sit behind me on the bus, and he had a great personality. And that's the way it is down through the years. The guys who were the tough guys, Dave the Hammer Schultz.
Right.
Marty McSorley. Yeah. Tiger Williams. Off the ice, they're as nice and well, maybe not Tiger, but the other guys, they're as nice and polite as you would ever imagine.
Right.
Dave the Hammer Schultz would never say anything derogatory about anybody. But take one step on the ice, and it's like a whole transformation takes place.
Amazing, right?
But it is amazing that those tough guys, Rytus Ivanons with the Kings right now, is one very quiet guy, very nice guy, but they know their role. They know their role when they're out there.
Now, what is Jay Wells doing nowadays? You know, you kept in touch with him?
No, I haven't seen him in a while. I think he is back in Paris, Ontario, on a farm, I think. That's where he grew up and went back there, and as far as I know, he and his wife, I think her name's Colleen, back on the farm in Ontario. And you know what's amazing? A lot of players, their whole life is hockey, and they leave. They retire from the NHL, and sometimes you never see them again.
Yeah,
you never see them at a game.
It was just their job, really, right?
Yeah, that's always kind of surprised me that this was your whole life,
right.
And now you walk away, and we don't see you.
Yeah,
and you don't hear them ever.
No,
that's also the Canadian work ethic as well. A lot of these guys go back to Windsor or Chatham or London or Blenheim or wherever they're from, and they go back to these small Canadian towns and they live the life they had when they were growing up. Now with just a little more dough.
Yeah, a little.
But
more
they're working on the farm, and that's the Canadian work ethic, which is terrific. All right, Bob Miller is with us. He is the announcer for the Los Angeles Kings. If you'd like to say hello or ask him a question, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Before we take this commercial break, let me ask Jacob Emirani a question here. Let's put Jacob on. Then we're going to take some calls for Bob Miller. But I got to ask him because Jacob's a busy man and he's got a kid and he's going to leave here soon. I got it. Nice to see you, Jacob. How are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
All right. I got in a car accident yesterday, dude, and I meant to call you today and I forgot. But I was backing out of a spot in an underground parking lot, and some lady ran into me. All right? She claims that she might be injured, but she hit my car. Can she sue me for this?
For sure. Did you get her phone number?
Wait a minute. She can? Oh, Bob, boom.
Wait, both cars were in motion, too?
I was backing out of a spot, and she plowed into me.
Now, you know what? It all depends on how bad the hit was.
She was on her cell phone at the time.
Was she?
Yes.
You have a picture of that?
No, but I can tell you that
all right.
She was.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you know what it is? It's normally, you know, anybody can actually say that they're injured. You know, when you are involved in an accident, as you know, we talk about all the time,
is
the fact that you really need to make sure and check and see how bad the damage to the vehicles are. You know, if it was a small parking lot accident, most of the time, injury is not going to, you know, not going to be that credible.
But whose fault is it? The guy backing out or the guy?
Yeah, in that scenario, typically, like, you know, if you're driving and somebody changes lanes and hits you, it's obviously their fault. If you're turning, I mean, it's your fault. In Tim's scenario, if you're backing out, is it the fault of the person who's backing out of a spot or the person who's
plowing into it?
Plowing through the parking structure.
You know what? I hate to say it, buddy. Normally the person backing out is the
get out of here. Yeah, what's wrong with you? All right, if people want to get a hold of you, what do they do? How do they call you?
If they want to get a hold of me, either they can go on our website, which is lalaw911.com, or they can give us a call at 888-636-7246, or give us, you know, a call directly at the office.
Okay, what is that number again?
It's 888-636-7264.
7264,
correct.
Okay. All right,
888-636-7264. 888-636-7264.
All right, Jacob Emirani, everybody. And I'm going to talk to you off the air because I think it was that bitch's fault.
All right. No, we'll talk about it.
She was such an a-hole to me.
She was not nice.
She plowed into me, and then she's on her phone with her Starbucks in one hand and yelling at me. And
you need just hand this off to Jacob. Just let him.
But she was yelling at me, and she was calling me names and pointing at me and stuff.
I think we can take that. I think we can make her be at fault just because she was yelling at you.
And I thought to myself, you know, thank God you're a woman.
Oh,
because if not,
this is UWB blows. Yeah,
there's going to be a blow going on.
All right, Jacob, thanks for coming by. Jacob M. Ronnie, everybody, big stud. LALaw911.com. We'll continue with Bob Miller, the world's greatest announcer. In 1969, 1970, I went to the Great Western Forum, used to be the Fabulous Forum, and I saw this man when I was 7 years old announcing Kings games. And I thought, man, I'd like to meet that guy one day, and he's sitting with us.
Right here.
It is a dream come true,
everybody.
And he's
as nice as you could ever imagine.
The nicest man in all of entertainment, whether it's sports or Hollywood. You'll never run into a nicer guy. When I met Bob Miller, I said, hey, you know, he was on the show, and I said, Bob, can you come on the show again? And he gave me his home phone number.
I remember that. When he left, you said, oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable. All right, Bob Miller's with us. It's Conway and Whitman. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM, sitting in the Staples Center watching the Los Angeles Kings take on the St. Louis Blues. And the Kings have just scored another goal at the top of the third period.
Right.
And I believe that was Frolov's third.
Yep.
But we're listening to the announcement here. Is that Frolov's second goal? I believe it was his second goal.
Hats are being thrown on the ice.
I don't think it's his third goal, though.
I thought it was, but they haven't put it up on the board. It's still 4-0 on the board. So they're reviewing it.
Oh, they're reviewing the goal. Okay. All right, if they do give it to him, it will be his hat trick then. So hold on to your hats, gang. You know, in Los Angeles, it's the only place where they're like, no, I spent $19 on this hat. I'm not going to throw it on the ice. Bob Miller is with us, the Los Angeles Kings announcer, and there's not a better announcer in all of sports, in my opinion, than Bob Miller. He knows his game and knows, is the greatest play-by-play announcer on the planet, can talk faster than anybody.
Yes.
You know, I just want to say, whether this goal counts or not, it's 4-0 now, might be 5-0. St. Louis made a goalie change in that second period. They brought in a guy who was a rookie. He has a hyphenated last name. His first name is Chris. His last name is Beckford / Sue, T-S-E-U. Chris Beckford Sue. And I said, we can't lose to a boy named Sue. You know?
Is it a product of his mom having a hyphenated name and he kept it?
You know,
is that possible?
When we played in St. Louis, and I thought maybe he would start. We played them the last game of that 16-day road trip.
Right, where they were up 2-0, and they lost 4-2.
Yeah, we lost, and I thought he might play, and I asked everybody in St. Louis, what's the heritage here? And nobody knew. They didn't know if he was of Eskimo descent or where he was from. So I still don't know.
Well,
but
you know, the truth is, Bob Miller, you have to, I mean, we congratulate you because calling NHL games is a much tougher gig when it comes to names than any other sport that I can think of. These guys who do baseball, guys who call golf, I mean, the names are like right out of the phone book. They're a cinch. Here you've got every ethnicity from the globe, and your tongue better be working.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, if you look at basketball these days, though, there are a lot of basketball players now from Lithuania or another one with the Lakers who is a friend of Andrzej Kopitar's from Slovenia. So they are there, but I think it's the speed of the game and the fact that they change on the fly. They don't need a whistle to substitute and all that kind of stuff that makes it more difficult perhaps in other sports.
Right.
Yeah, and it is an interesting it is a goal here. So that could be Frolov's hat trick. I believe it is. They'll make an announcement here shortly. But when you go to a King game, when you broadcast, you know you're going to start at 7:30, and you know it's going to be done around between 10 and 10:30.
Yeah, maybe 10, 10:05.
Right. It is a hat trick. Yeah, here come the hats, everybody. All right, now everyone's throwing their hat on the ice here. A hat trick by Froloff. They're going to have to stop this game because there's a ton of hats on the ice now. The referees don't have the ability to pick all these hats on, and they continue to play the game. That is so dangerous, man. That is unbelievable. But you know what? And Bob Miller can confirm this. Oh, it looks, there's a fight on the ice. I think it's over one of the hats.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy, look at this. St. Louis a little frustrated that they have zero goals, and now they're starting to fight here.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, two big heavyweights. Who is that, Bob?
Yeah, it's Scott Thornton of the Kings and Bryce Salvador of St. Louis.
And who do you like here?
I like Scott Thornton.
You do? All right.
And who is that, the guy in the Kings?
Scott Thornton.
I guess you got to like him, huh?
Ah, the refs were able to pull him apart.
They pulled that off before he really got into it.
You know, when you talk about things thrown on the ice, at the Forum one night, I was doing the game, and I looked down, and here somebody threw a live chicken on the ice. And the chicken had a blue napkin, like from the Forum Club at dinner, and the it was draped over the back of the chicken. Now, the chicken was so petrified, it just stayed on the ice and never moved. There was a little colored stain coming out of it, and the play continued. The player's stick handled around the chicken. And finally, they stopped the play and had to get the chicken off the ice.
No animals were injured in this story,
right? Okay.
Oh, that is so great. Well, we just saw Froloff score his third goal tonight, so that's a hat trick. Now, if you're watching this game in Montreal or in Toronto or in Vancouver or Detroit, and there's a hat trick, that's a 15-minute delay for the hats.
They got to bring a wheelbarrow out and a snow shovel.
Yeah, absolutely.
And scoop up the hat.
They fill up a couple trash cans where the hats. Here in Los Angeles, it's like one guy throwing his hat to another guy and it accidentally falls onto the ice.
What do they do like in some other cities where if they do, they have a wheelbarrow full of hats, the management of the facility just throws them away?
Yeah, I in some arenas, and I think it's in Nashville, they put them out in the lobby in a big bin, and you can see how many hats are in there, for how many hat tricks they've had during the year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You look for your hat in there. All right, Bob Miller is with us. Now, we got a call from Roger Lodge, who is a host of the very, very popular dating show.
Blind Date.
Blind Date, yeah, you bet. And he said that Miracle Manchester was 1982. I happened to be there that night. I was with a friend of mine named Steve Myers. Mm-hmm. And we got the cheap seats, the yellow seats, way upstairs. They were $10 each. Even though it was a playoff game, if you got there late, you can get in for like $10. And we watched that game, and a lot of people left after the second period because the Kings were down 5-0 to the Edmonton Oilers after two periods.
Oh, right.
And so everyone split. So we moved down almost to the ice because nobody was there. And Jay Wells was the first guy to score, right?
Right. Right.
And the Kings scored one after another. Who was the second?
Doug Smith scored the second.
Right.
And then that was 5-2, and then we went till about 8 minutes to go in the third before Charlie Simmer scored. And I'll never forget this. When Charlie scored, now it's 5-3 with about maybe 6.5 or 7 minutes to go. And now in the crowd, you could sense that there was this feeling, maybe they can do it. Mark Hardy scored with 4 minutes to go.
Right.
Now it's 5-4, and it's just bedlam in the four.
How many people had left, do you think? I mean, had half the people left at that point?
No, I don't think half, but the owner did, Jerry Buss. He was, I looked down at his box, and he's gone. And I thought, do I mention this on the air, that even the owner is bailed out or what? And I find out later he's going to Palm Springs with Kathy Crosby. And the word is, in the limo, they had the game on, and we kept scoring, and the driver said, should we go back? And supposedly Dr. Buss said, no, the further we get away, the more they score. Let's keep going. So now it's 5-4 with about 4 minutes to go. And the Oilers, after that, have two breakaways, chances to put the game away. And Mario Lessard makes the save. We come down to 5 seconds left when we tied the score. And I remember there was a shot. Grant Fuhr was in goal for Edmonton, made the save. The rebound came to Steve Bozek right in front of the net. He scored. And as I said, he scores. I'm screaming, and I look at the clock, and there's 5 seconds left.
Wow.
Now we go into overtime. And in overtime, the Zamboni's going around resurfacing the ice, and the fans are just going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
In the overtime, Mark Messier has a wide open net. Lessard slides out. He's way out of position, and I think, don't tell me this is over. And he misses the net. And then they have a faceoff in the Oilers zone. Darrell Evans, it was all rookies up front for the Kings.
Wow.
And Evans got the puck and just rifled a shot over Fuhr's shoulder. And it was just unbelievable, really. I've seen tapes of that game, and I still don't believe we're going to come back and win it, even though I know we are.
And that's a playoff game.
A playoff game. Yeah. And it was a best of five. So now the Kings led 2-1.
Right.
And this was the Oiler team with Gretzky, Messier, and Fuhr, and Coffey. And
McSorley and everybody.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Yeah. Now they win the next game at the Forum. So now it's 2-2. The deciding game is the next night. They couldn't get two charter planes. So both teams flew on the same plane back to Edmonton.
Right?
Oh, what a flight.
And,
wow.
the deciding game was the next night.
Who sat in front?
Kings sat in front. The referees sat in between. And the Oilers sat in the back.
Were you on that flight?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was tame. There was no problem until we got to Edmonton. Fog so thick you couldn't see the wingtip.
Wow.
And we landed at about 4:30 in the morning so hard that a bolt broke out of the panel above my head. I mean, and I talked to a flight attendant the next year. She said, I was in the cockpit on that flight. They told him, land in Calgary. He said, I can't. The game is tonight. These guys, they said, well, you're on your own.
Oh, Jesus.
And the pilot said to them in the cockpit, the minute you see lights, let me know. And somebody said, lights, and bam.
So Jesus Christ.
Now we get to the hotel. It's 5:30 in the morning, and the game is that night, the deciding game. And we're in the lobby, and a little elderly woman cleaning the lobby is shaking her fist at the Kings. You didn't treat my boys very nice in L.A. And Mark Hardy said, lady, it's 5:30 in the morning. Go home and go to bed, will you? And that night, the Kings beat the Oilers 7-4 to win the game.
Man.
And I must say this. They were such an arrogant team, the Oilers, in that year. They were so arrogant.
You were so happy to see them defeated.
Oh, I ran down to call my wife, and the only phone, there were no cell phones, the only phone I could find was right outside the Oiler dressing room. Their wives and girlfriends are all crying. They're in tears. And I'm on the phone saying, what a great game. I loved it.
They hated you then, huh? I bet there wasn't one King fan in the audience. That's back, in Edmonton.
Yeah, that was in Edmonton. I don't remember, but
you got to watch out who you vote, who you root for there.
Yeah. Bob Miller, we've talked about it before. This is a great moment, I think, to promote it. Can people get your book on Amazon? Can they go online?
Yeah, it's still on. Bob Miller's Tales from the Los Angeles Kings. You can get it on Amazon. A few bookstores still have it around here, I think, or can order it for you. And I told some of those stories in there and had a great time researching it and just telling stories I'd had in my mind for 35 years. And I appreciate you guys mentioning it
it's a great
all the
book.
Time.
And it really is.
In fact, a couple of people tonight at the game have come up and said, can you sign my book? And it was a lot of fun. And, this Sunday night, if I can just get a plug in for Tip of King, we have our big fundraiser this Sunday night at Universal Studios, 5 to 10 p.m. All the players are there, the coaches, the broadcasters. And you tip the players and everybody $1 for an autograph, $2 for a photo, and it goes to King's Care Foundation, which helps thousands of kids in Los Angeles. So,
and that's Sunday?
It's this Sunday at Universal Studios, 5 to 10. You can go to lakings.com/tipaking and get all the information you want.
Great.
And where are they going to be located up there, do you know?
They were going to email me that stuff tomorrow.
Probably by City Walk. Probably somewhere by the City Walk, I bet.
Yeah, you'll find it.
But, yeah, they'll find it.
5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Are you going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent.
I'll be there. Jimmy Fox will be there. Nick Nixon, Darrell Evans, all the coaches, all the players.
And people can tip you, right?
For
photos. And
And you know what? When you go to these days, I think, unlike the days of the Forum, when there was a Forum Club and after the game you'd see players from both teams.
Right.
People now, fans now, don't have that personal connection with players, I think, in any sport, probably because of a lot of security reasons and everything else. So this is a chance for fans to come out, meet a player, talk to them, and they love it. And and our fans are so great, and they contribute to this every year, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, Bob is so right about that, Tim. It changes the game, especially when you're a kid, when you've met a player. I've told you on the air, when I grew up in New York, we used to go to Yankee games all the time, and I loved Dave Winfield, who wore number 31. I just loved him. He's a great outfielder and a great hitter, was a home run hitter. and we would stand at the at the press box there at the end. The players would come out, and I had my Winfield jersey on, and he came over and he shook my hand, this big hand, and I will never forget it. I was probably 9 or 10 years old, and I could, in my mind's eye, I can still feel that moment. Whenever I saw him on TV, that's all I could think of.
Yeah,
he came,
Did your opinion change when he killed that bird in Toronto?
Get out of here. No, I still have a very fine opinion. He was so nice. When you do have that interaction, it changes the way you watch the game sometimes.
Yeah, the Forum Club was great. And the one thing I remember about it, first of all the players would come out to the Forum Club after the game. But the ceiling was like 6.5-7 feet tall. I mean, so everybody, even Marcel Dion, felt like a giant in this place. All right, we got to take a break. Bob Miller is with us with the Los Angeles Kings. He is their announcer for 35 years, and he made a promise tonight to be the announcer for the next 35 years, so thank God. It is the Conway Whitman Show. We're live at the Staples Center, Kings 5, Blues 0, with about 11.5 minutes left in the third period, and we're live at 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. We are at the Staples Center. The Kings are winning 5-0 with about 7 minutes left in the third period. Bob Miller joins us, the awesome announcer for the LA Kings. Bob, from here, and we don't want to put you on the spot, could you call 30 seconds of this game?
Well,
or you're
probably,
in a bad position.
Although, yeah, it's not a great position up here. Although, in a lot of these new buildings, we are not in great positions.
I know, it's terrible.
Look here where... We don't luckily work in the press box here because it's really high. We were in the new building in New Jersey, and I walked in and I said, I've been in the Goodyear blimp that wasn't this far above the ice.
Yeah, that's where they replaced the Brendan Byrne Arena, right?
They built the new one downtown Newark.
The fabulous form was perfect for you.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Because you guys right on the where the promenade deck was, the big loop that everybody made. And you're sitting there, watching the game. But that was also tough, too, because if people stood up to cheer, they blocked your view.
Yeah, and they'd block camera angles, and the cotton candy guy'd come by, and he'd say, cotton candy, and he'd have a full rack of cotton candy, and I couldn't see the game,
So you have to scope it out. I mean, when you get there, obviously, you want to scope out the facility, see where you're going to be. And you must have, I know that, didn't you tell us a story, Bob, that when they were building this facility, they came to you and they said, where do you want to be? Pick your spot.
They did. Luckily, a lot of times they don't do that. They don't go to the guys who are working and say, what do you need? And they did. And it was very nice of Tim. And they wanted to know, do you want to be down low there? And I said, that's too low. They said, you want to be up there? I said, that's too high. So they built those four broadcast booths right there at the top of the third deck. You see the four booths. And it's a really good view. And the visitors who come in say, it's one of the best in the NHL. So, that was very nice of him to do that. When you talk about growing up, I was grew up in Chicago, great White Sox fan, hung out at Comiskey Park all the time. So one day I'm there, and it's pouring rain. It's about the seventh inning, and I think they're not going to start this game again. And I look down, and everybody's up under the overhang, and there's no ushers down by the dugouts. And I thought, I always wanted to see, what's it like to sit in a major league dugout? So I go down, I jump over the little fence, and I sit in the dugout, the visitor's dugout. Nobody comes up. Now I think, I wonder what it's like to stand at home plate. So I run up to home plate, and I take a couple of imaginary swings, and there's still no usher comes out or anything. And I know people are saying, who's this guy standing out there in the rain? So now a White Sox fan there in the third base dugout, so I keep going. I go to the third base dugout. Still nobody comes down. And the way you got to the dressing room was through the White Sox dugout. So I thought, I'm going to keep going. So I go down the tunnel, and here's Billy Pierce, a pitcher, and Sherm Lawler, the catcher, having a smoke, and I jump up next to him. Hey, Billy and Sherm, how you doing? And they're like, who is this guy? So I got all the way to the club. I got 1 foot in the locker room, and somebody hollered, get out of here. But it was amazing.
Amazing. Persistence will take you far, right?
Then we did it in the football season. When I lived there, the Chicago Cardinals, before they moved to St. Louis, played at Comiskey Park. The Bears played at Wrigley Field. They were bitter rivals. We go to a game at Comiskey Park, and it is a blizzard. By halftime, it's snowing so hard, most people are leaving thinking, I'm not going to get home. My buddy and I, we don't care if we're there forever. So, again, I look down, no ushers. And in those years, both football teams were on the same side of the field. And the Bears were on the farthest away. So we jump over the fence, run down past the Cardinals, and jump into the Bears where they're all standing there. And there was an usher there who said, hey, get off the field. So he said, okay, we're going. As we went by the Cardinals, I looked down, and everybody was just bundled up because it was such a blizzard. Nobody's watching us, so we jumped in with all the Cardinal players. And a fight broke out, and they're dumping their capes and punching each other. And, you know, I'll never forget the end of that game. George Connor, who was a lineman at Notre Dame, played for the Bears, walked off. They had no face masks in those days, and he had two black eyes, a broken nose.
Jesus.
And I'll never forget that, that I thought, oh, what a way to make a living on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, but you've been a sports fan forever, then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, yeah. The Tip of King is this Sunday, 5 to 10 p.m., and that's at the Universal Studios.
Universal Studios. Somebody will direct you where to go, and you can go to lakings.com/Tip of King and get all the information you need.
You should also go to Amazon.com and get Bob Miller's book, which is a collection of stories, and he's a great storyteller. So you want to check that out at Amazon. People can just search your name, and the book comes up.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
How many have you sold so far?
I think around 4,000, maybe a little over 4,000.
You That's know, great, and especially in L.A.
Yeah, I didn't do it to make money on it. I just did it to have those stories in print and, you know, have something years from now when I retire to look back and read about.
Right.
I know. Bob is a very humble guy. He said he didn't do it to make money, but while we're off the air, he has the check in his pocket. And, wow, I can't believe you make that much per book.
You know, the Kings winning 5-0. I just want to say the King goaltender tonight, Dan Kluche, I'm so happy for him. He's had a really tough time. He had hip injury, he had hip surgery. The fans got on him. He got demoted to the minors. And he's come back here, and he's playing tonight. He is the nicest, nicest guy. Even when things were not going right, he never hid in the training room. He came out. He met the press. He talked to the press. He owned up to the fact that he wasn't playing very well, and here he is getting a shutout, and I hope he hangs on for another 441 and gets the shutout here tonight.
And the Blues go on a power play here, so it might be tough, but he's already saved 29. He has 29 saves already.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. Bob, thanks for coming by. Always nice to see you.
Thank you for the invitation, guys.
Yes.
I always enjoy being with you, and I got you on. I got 97.1 on all day long.
Is that right?
So, yeah,
oh,
I
excellent.
Do.
All yeah. right. Well, we'll count you down as a fan, and maybe you send you a DVD of a movie or something as a prize.
Thank you, guys.
It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We got to thank Bob Miller for coming by. What a great guest that is, and what a terrific, terrific announcer. The nicest man on the planet.
Oh, yes.
And we're watching the Kings take on the Blues. Kings 5, Blues nothing. And there goes the shutout. We're live on 97.1 Free FM.